thank God and praise the Lord for His grace that brings us to Bible study. Hallelujah. If you'd open your Bibles tonight, we'll be in Revelation chapter 9. And let's just begin by reading the whole, the entire ninth chapter. And we'll go back and just let the Spirit speak to us in it. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as a torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and they shall not find it. And they shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. That's 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinths and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and heads. And with them they do hurt, and the rest of men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Quite a time. Amen. Now, as we get into this, once again, this is the middle. This begins here 250 days before the middle of the tribulation. That, again, is this fifth angel, this fifth trump. We also know that the bride is in heaven at this time. Thank you, Jesus. The innumerable multitude is in heaven at this time. And now what we have awaiting at this time is the 144,000 to be raptured up and the church to be complete with God. So once again, this fifth trump, we are about in the middle of the week. So basically 3.5 years approximately into the 7-year tribulation. And remember this, the first part of the 3.5 year tribulation is called the tribulation, whereas the last 3.5 years is called the great tribulation. All right? Now the reason that we know we're at this place in the tribulation, this 250 days before the middle of the week with this fifth trump, is because Revelation 12 specifically tells of this time. this time that Lucifer, and you think about Satan himself right now, it tells us this in the Word of God, that he is accusing the brethren before the throne of God day and night. Day and night. And it's interesting. I've always thought about that. Well, there's nothing to accuse me for because I'm redeemed. So that must be to his torment. If you really think about it, it's to the enemy's torment. Praise God. Praise God. Come on. Praise God. Just shows what a dummy and a fool he is. But Lucifer is cast out of heaven at this fifth trump. Also mentions this in the 12th chapter of Revelation as well too. And he's cast out of heaven, and there's no more accusing at that time. That's done. When he's cast out of heaven, he's cast upon the earth. And his first mission, as we will get to in chapter 12, and we've read this a few times as we've studied already, he attempts with all of his might to destroy that 144,000. Which, that 144,000 is going to be momentarily raptured up into heaven approximately at the middle of the week. And at that time, once they're raptured, that's when we're going to get this sixth trump that we just read, starting in the 13th verse. That is the commencement, if you will, of the call of the armies that are going to gather in Megiddo for the last battle of what we call Armageddon, which we will see in full force with the seventh and final trump. So, let's get back to the beginning of chapter 9. We talked about this last week. The star that falls from heaven here, we saw, is the devil himself. God gives him this key to the bottomless pit. We mentioned last week, isn't that a comfort to know? God has to give the devil everything and anything to do everything and anything. The devil can't do anything but what God specifically allows him to do. And know that for our lives right now. And let's not give the devil any credit. Not too much, but any. We know by God's grace that the Lord has appointed the wicked for the day of evil. And our Lord and Savior has created everything. So this is something that he is completely in tune with. He understands. Anything that the devil can do only fulfills God's eternal plan. Know that. It's fulfilling the plan. And I'm thankful. Now, you think of the horror that we read about there in verse 2 that ascends from the pit. We get smoke and of a great furnace. The sun, the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, brothers and sisters, this means that literally all light is blocked out at this time. Now, this doesn't necessarily have to mean physical light of the sun that we see that sits in the sky. But this is virtually complete spiritual darkness. You think of how dim this world is getting right now. Isn't it wonderful? And I've always felt so thankful as the Lord has directed my life to meet Christians along the way in my life. But even so more now. Because it's rare. It's rare to meet people that love Jesus. I'm thankful that we gather. It's rare to meet people that are in love with Jesus. And that's when you're really beyond thankful for. But brothers and sisters, this is a time, again, we know that the tribulation isn't even going to begin until the bride is taken. As the Word of God tells us, until he that hinders is taken out of the way. The tribulation won't even begin. But we've got a time right now that the bride has been taken, so we know that the tribulation has commenced. But then we also know that the innumerable multitude is in heaven at this time. So the majority of Christians are gone from this earth. What a dark time this is. I don't know how many of you have traveled to other countries, but I thank the Lord I've been able to travel. And let me tell you something, it's different. It's not just different in language, it's not just different in culture. It's different in light. And you'll find that out if you travel. It's different. God has graced us. God has blessed America. This is a nation, as messed up as we are, because man is messed up. Just get it, you know. But God. And somehow, some way, his grace reached people that not just founded but built, that came here, whether willingly or unwillingly, the grace of God. Praise the Lord. It didn't escape them. And I'm so thankful of what he's done in this country. And I'm thankful for God for the freedom of worship. And I'm thankful that truly, for years and years, remember, we get so short-sighted in our lifetimes. But those have been around that have lived, you know, for decades. Understand, this place has changed. I'm not talking about political changes and all of these different things. I'm just talking about the love of Jesus. It's changed. You know, it was something that was your thankfulness and encouragement. I heard a woman the other day on TV and just actually belligerent, really, against Christianity. And I was thinking, the Lord struck my heart, you know, because she was even proud that she doesn't go to church. She doesn't need to go to church. You know, I don't need to go to church to talk about these things and all of that, whatever she wanted to talk about. But I was thinking, and I'm confident that your parents went to church. But that's the problem, is there's been a departure from God. This is going to be the greatest departure from God there's ever been. And it's going to be a very dark time. Remember, as we look at this too, John uses the words all the time, it's as the sound of or like. So again, John is describing these things, but you know, I have to say again, thank you, Lord, for the Spirit that we have, that we can know these things. Thank you for Paul's gospel that makes these things very clear. So as we continue to go on. Now these locusts that we read about that come forth, they're not just locusts, they're as scorpions. There's an ability to hurt. They desire to kill, and they desire to kill especially God's precious people. You can see how immediately in that fourth verse, they wanted to come to hurt the grass, the green, which speaks of the everlasting. And it specifically tells us that they're not going to hurt anyone that has the seal of God in their foreheads. And it's a very tormenting thing. What does the Lord say that, you know, you do good unto them that despitefully use you? And what's it like? Throwing, yeah, the hot coals on their head, you know, that just throwing right on them, you know. And this is just really aggravating these demonic forces because they can't hurt them. It's just like I was thinking about the enemy. He's accusing the brethren day and night, but it's just got to really aggravate him. Because he ain't getting nowhere. Because there's nothing to accuse. He's the laughing stock of heaven. If you really think about it. And I'm not making light of that. I know, but for God, the devil would kill me and destroy me in a moment. But for the grace of God, I'd go anywhere and everywhere away from God. But I'm thankful to the Lord. I know how powerful my God is. I'm so thankful to God that I don't fear what man can do unto me. I don't fear the enemy. I'm thankful to the Lord that he's shown me at times in my life when I should have died. He's shown me at times in life, and I'm sure a lot of you have had this. I've had the very presence of Satan in my room, and I knew he was there. And I could sense him. I could feel him, if you want to use that, and all. And it was just so precious to know and to be able to quote the word of God, which was greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And it was over. It was over. There was just, it wasn't any. I didn't need to tell Satan to get behind me because the Lord already told him that. So I just love to just meditate on the scriptures and thanking God how he keeps us. And again, he must increase and I must decrease. Praise God. But once again, as we're confirmed here, I should say that's also confirmed in Revelation 12, I want to keep reminding us that we are in the place near the middle of the week. This is again where the devil pursues, but he fails to destroy the 144,000, the man-child. We'll be there here shortly in a few weeks if the Lord tarry. And he's just trying to destroy the man-child, and remember, he's going to have all of the forces of hell unleashed. But he's still not going to get to him, and he can't stand it. So this fury just keeps building and building and building. And when the 144,000 is raptured, when they're taken away, then it says the enemy knows he has but a little time. And that is when he comes forth like a roaring lion. Now you think in your life and my life, when we've seen the enemy literally get loose in our homes, it's a horrible thing. Let me tell you something. He's never yet come forth like a roaring lion. So this will be a time that God has given for us to understand. Brothers and sisters, these demons that come out of the bottomless pit, there's going to be complete demonic possession that's going to come forth. I remember very clearly early on, and I know God was encouraging my heart. I had sweet Cecilia. She was a young lady here. That used to help with the young people's class. The lady I mentioned that I met her on the sidelines of a football game that said, talked to me and said, I knew there was that Bride of Christ was a separate company from the body. And it was so sweet to talk to her. And then she come to church for years and all. Well, she was fluent in Spanish. And this man wanted to bring in this woman that he really wanted for us to pray for. He cared for her greatly, but he knew that there was something wrong with her. Well, she came in, and I'll tell you what, that's the first time I've ever been in the presence of somebody I knew was demon-possessed. It is the most horrid, wicked thing you could ever imagine. And a lovely-looking young woman. And she could only barely speak any English and all, and just started speaking to her very kindly and all, and Cecilia was translating. And then we started to talk about Jesus. You could see the form of her face and her whole body continued to change. It was out of a movie, and I'm not exaggerating. She got into a position with her body as I continued to just be encouraged of the Lord to instruct Satan to come out of her. And her body contorted to things that I had never seen. She got into a position that wasn't more than a box, and her body was completely contorted and all of that back in that office. The devil came out of her, and she received the Lord as her Savior. And I'm thankful to God that she walked out of that office brand new. And I'm grateful to God that the Lord, and I don't know how he did it, but I didn't fear. And I can just tell you, it was just because of the grace of God that was with me. I always remembered Cecilia. She said, I wanted to just get out of there, but I was afraid to leave. But as shocking and as horrible as that was, this is going to be completely prevalent upon this earth. You're going to have people incensed with the devil. They're going to be so incensed and possessed, brothers and sisters, that it's going to be the darkest in a time that, again, we can't even fathom, but the Word of God gives us this encouragement of what will be. But I think, even as the Lord has us to dwell on this, think of how he loves you. Think of how he loves you. What, again, to thank him for, that I know that I will not. None of my brothers and sisters, and I'm even talking about ones that don't even have a vision of the Bride of Christ, they're not going to go into this time. That's the great grace of God. That innumerable multitude will be spared from this time. I just think, Lord, how you love us. But see, and again, it'll say that man is going to seek death at this time, but he cannot find it. There's going to be such torment. And remember that the devil, he's the one that kills, steals, and destroys. So he has that death. But you just see the torment there that he just wants to, again, just torment as opposed to even kill at this time. But let's examine these locusts in verse 7. It says here that they have, they're like horses prepared for battle. This is Satan's war machine. This is of epic proportions of demon-possessed power. These demons, truly, that are released from hell, this pit, this possession is going to go into men. And the reason we know these are men is because they have faces and they have crowns. These demon possessions are going to happen in leaders. We understand that. but also leaders of religion, because notice what it says. It says that they have crowns in verse 7, as it were, crowns like gold. Now, this is something that's very interesting here, because when it says it's like gold, it's like a counterfeit. Remember, when John sees the gold crowns of the 24 elders, it's not like gold. There are 24 gold crowns. They have the golden crowns. He sees this and interprets it that it is a counterfeit. This speaks again of the religious apostasy, this antichrist, this prevalent oppression of anything of the Lord that's going on at this time. And it's going to go forth, a possession that's so great that all of the world wanders after and takes command from the antichrist that's encouraged by the beast and the false prophet. Go on over to verse 8. It says that they have hair of women and teeth like lions. You think of the deception. I have to tell you, I was thinking about Delilah. You know, she was a beautiful woman. She was able to deceive Samson with beauty, but there was just hatred in her heart. You think about this hair, and I have to tell you, I think about Absalom as well, too. You know, they'd say that even at the end of the year, whenever it was, they would weigh his hair because it was so beautiful. It was so magnificent, and he was beautiful to look upon. But he had this hair, and yet all of this beauty, but yet he was so vile of heart, he wanted to destroy his father. And it wasn't his father that he was, the natural father he was going up against. He was going up against his heavenly father. He was touching God's anointed at that time. The anointing that, and I'm sure that David was able to preach to him that, you know what, I didn't touch God's anointed. That was, you know, Saul. You know, King Saul was God's anointed. And yet here was the man after God's own heart. And Absalom had no value, not only for his natural father, but for God's anointed. And I think of that hair again as it speaks of. And see, isn't this not Satan himself? This is the absolute epitome of Satan. Let's go over to Ezekiel 28, and I think the Word of God will show you that this is the heart of Satan, this beautiful thing, but yet the most vile to the core. So deceptive to look upon. Eloquent. Remember how he, as the Antichrist, is encouraged of the devil. How does he begin to take over? With lies, with eloquent speech, with flattery. You've heard that expression, flattery gets you everywhere. I hope that's not you, huh? But Ezekiel 28, and going on over to verse 13, look what it says there. And this is speaking of the devil himself. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted the wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. You see why the devil hates you so much? You see that place that in type, in a sense, but yet completely thrown and cast out again because his heart was lifted up because of his beauty, wanted to magnify himself above God, but just that vileness that was in his heart. So we can see that this same state of hatred, this vile demonic possession, which is from the father of demonic possession, which is the devil, is transferred through his demons to men. Now in verse 9, going back to Revelation, talks about the breastplates of iron. Now this gives us a flashback into Daniel, describing the Roman Empire, the fierceness of ungodliness. And John continues to say, as the sound of chariots and many running, many horses running to battle. And notice this in the sixth trumpet, they're running to the battle. They're not in the battle yet, but there's this preparing that's going on. And you think of these locust wings, that it sounds like the wings of locusts, as he says, and the chariots, the horses running. And later we're going to read of the fire, the destruction of the brimstone and all of the death and stuff. But now think of what John is describing. You know, John again here, about 60 AD writing, or maybe a little bit later than that, I guess maybe 90 AD, writing the things that he has seen here. And, you know, John doesn't understand airplanes. John doesn't understand nuclear warfare. John doesn't understand all these things. So he says it's as. These are the things that only he can describe and that are coming into his heart by the Spirit. So we know this is warfare. We know this is war that we're speaking of here. But you think about this, the wings that he continues to speak of, and the wings sound like chariots and all of that. One of the things that we've talked about for years about Revelation was, you know, our jet fighters and all of that. Well, we have a new technology. They're called drones. And I didn't realize this in just looking up some of the information on. Do you know 84 countries have militarized weapons on drones? I mean, that's incredible. We literally have at this time flying around, you know, this planet, at this moment, tens of thousands of weaponized drones that are everywhere. Now, that isn't to make you fear. It's actually to get you excited, because this is a very exciting time, because we're at the time of the coming of the Lord. But you think about this, and at the time of the coming of the Lord, I mean, you know, literally, millions of drones in the air with weapons. That's not a stretch. I think it's probably very doable this year, maybe. I don't know. But I just think it's fascinating to think, you know, thank you, Jesus, we live in this time. And then here you are with Brother Paul that encourages us in the faith to follow him as he followed Christ. He was looking for the Lord right after he received the revelation and not knowing any of these things, except Jesus said, I'm coming again. And he said, those that look for me a second time, I'll appear. That's the heart I want. I don't want it just to be because of the signs, but think about the grace of God that is with us, this encouragement. And the Lord knows what we need. Amen. Because I'll tell you what, this is a dire time. And the reason it's such a dire time is because we're so rich. This is a rich world. We have everything. We have all of the conveniences. And it speaks of even this great harlot. You know, she says, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods. She has need of nothing. And that's the abomination of abominations, is when you don't have any need for God. And you know in your own life, and I do mine, when the enemy can get us distracted and get us out there for a while, when we don't have, we think, need of God, how lean our soul becomes. Well, these ones are dead that we're speaking of here. But going on to the stinging tails. Now, could this be, well, we know that, again, the weapons of destruction and all of those things. But I think about that with a tail that's kind of back here. It kind of whips around. You can't really see it. The Antichrist is such a deceiver. This is with deception, kind of like backstabbing too. Man's word is nothing anymore, isn't it? I mean, God already told us a long time ago, all men are liars. Well, they're not ashamed of it now. And this is kind of where it's at. And this is what it is. And I believe that this really is evidence because of these lies that are so profound at this time, and this deceiver that can deceive with lies, you know, get people to believe. It's amazing. See, people are so, well, we are, and especially Christians, you know, that's what he calls us, as sheep. We just kind of go, you know. They call, you know, like cattle sometimes, you know, they just say, they just kind of follow and all of this. But man wants to believe. They just want to hear something, anything but Jesus. But they do want to hear. They have ears to hear everything but the truth. They want to hear every wind of doctrine but true doctrine. Amen. But here we go. And this is evidence because in verse 11, do you notice how it says that the king, the angel of the bottomless pit, this devil that again is going to empower the Antichrist and all of this wickedness that's going on there. It says that he's known in the Hebrew as Abaddon and in the Greek Apollyon. And those words mean the same. It means destroyer. So the Antichrist, if you really see what this is saying here, is going to be so fully powered to destroy and deceive both. See, the whole world is going to wander after him. It's true. I gave you the example, which is just, it's almost unbelievable to think of, that I was given that article from, I think it was like 1937 or 1938, the largest organization of Jews in Germany at that time. They endorsed, you know how you have different groups and agencies endorse different candidates? They endorsed Hitler. And they told every Jew in Germany to vote for Hitler. To vote for the one that would be the one that would want to hurt them all up and destroy and kill them all. It's kind of like, hey, everybody, pay attention. I'm giving you a little, you know, a little sign of this, a little foreshadow of what's to come. God's good. God's so good. Does he wake you up with earthquakes a little bit? Yeah, I thought, you know, earthquakes in diverse places, you know. New Zealand, Oklahoma. I was in Kansas, first time I ever had my bed shake like that. I was laying down. I think, you know, are we in one of those places you put a quarter in the bed, you know? And like, and all that. And I said, no. And I looked, I said, Polly, that's got to be an earthquake. And she's so funny. I think she slept through it. But I felt it. But see, all those things, do they quicken our hearts a little bit? And that's the goodness of our Lord and, you know, encouraging us along. Now, it says that this hurt goes on a short time, a period of 5 months. Do we know if it's exactly 5 months or not? I don't know. But it is a short time because we're talking about 7 years anyways. And their leader, the angel of the bottomless pit, the destroyer, is Satan himself. And remember this, Satan is about to, all he wants to do is to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's all he can do. And as the word of God tells us, if those days would not be shortened, there would be no flesh left on the earth because Satan would kill everybody. Yes, that's what he wants to do. And in this, there's going to be a lot of destruction, but God's not going to allow that to happen. So it says, as we read in verse 12, one woe is past, and now we have the final two. So now we're on to the sixth trumpet. Now this takes us at this sixth trumpet time. This takes us past the middle of the tribulation, and now we have entered into the great tribulation time, the last 3.5 years of the 7 years. So let's put ourselves there in mind, and let's go ahead and read 13 and 14 of verse 9 again. And it says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, once again, let's be reminded, these angels and all of that. We know that these are the messengers. We've been encouraged in all of the types and shadows. Go back and listen to all of the studies we've had. These are the bridal company saints. And this is what's so wonderful. They are ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus. And this is what's so great about us studying. If by the grace of God, we do apprehend that which has apprehended us, and I believe by the grace of God, he's going to perform that good work in you. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful when you get somewhere and you've already seen what you're going to see? But you really haven't seen it, but you said, oh, I know this, Lord. I'm ready. Praise God, because you told me that you'd prepare me for this. Hallelujah. You're going to be one of them stones, you know, by the grace of God. It's already cut when it gets into the palace. It don't need no cutting. It's just ready to go. You're getting cut now if you're going to take that place. Amen. Going to be right now. And this is what's so wonderful about it. But this is where we're at. And it's a wonderful thing. Now, these four horns, if you remember out in the Old Testament, the blood was placed upon the horns of the altar. Now, we talk about the atonement. We talk about the remission of sins. But let's talk about the great power of the blood of the Lamb. I mean, that's powerful. I mean, all powerful. It's done. It's finished. Amen. That blood, praise God, shed. He's our Redeemer. This is the power of the Lamb. And remember, if you look back in Revelation 6:16, let's read this together, because Revelation 6:16. Remember, chapter 6 took us all the way through. It was like a little microcosm of the whole tribulation. Look at what it said at 6:16, and this would be towards the end of the tribulation at this time. It said, let's go to 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chiefs and captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. And I always loved that. Remember, we were kind of smiling about that because we look at this beautiful lamb, the lamb, the beautiful lamb, the lamb's wife. Everything's about the lamb. And we're thinking, you know, to behold that lamb, to love that lamb. I hug the lamb by the grace of God because the lamb hugs me. And here we have these ones that are so wicked, they want to hide from the wrath of the Lamb. And they've never seen a wrath like this. And look what it says. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Of all that destruction and death that's going on, there ain't anything that's going to compare to the wrath of the Lamb. And that's the truth, because he is going to be magnified. He's going to be glorified, and we're thankful for this. So we see, again, they want to hide from this lamb. Now, remember back to chapter 7, since we're right there at chapter 6. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, let's read that again, because this will bring us kind of right where we're at right now, because remember, this angel is being sent in chapter 9, and this angel of verse 13, this sixth angel says to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. So now we're going to loosen those four angels. And remember in chapter 7 what the instruction was? Go back to chapter 7, let's read the first three verses. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. They were holding back the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he said with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Again, this was speaking of those 144,000. Remember, as I said, at the fifth trump, that's when, at the beginning of 9, that's when the devil was cast out of heaven. He tried to pursue and to kill the 144,000. The Lord knew this, and this was part of the plan of God. All of that witnessing that we'll read about that was going on to the 144,000, and all of the encouragement of the things of God, showing the awesomeness of our God to them. Again, for that time, he hid them in the wilderness, as it will say, and then he raptures them up. At that time, they're sealed. Praise God. It's done, and I should say they're sealed in the Lord anyways, but they now are with the Lord. And the sixth trumpet that we have here, this now has sounded, and now those four angels that had held back the four winds, they now release those four winds. Now it's time for the great tribulation, the Battle of Armageddon, to get everybody to assemble themselves to come in there to have this last wrap-up. Okay, let's just touch on this for a moment before we dismiss. So, the angels, the bride, holding back these four winds, are now let loose. It's the judgment time of the wicked on earth. It's the judgment time of the great whore. And this is God's wrath. I like to jump ahead because I always like to know the end of the story. So let's go to Revelation 18 and read just a few verses about the beautiful end of the story before we get to the end of the story, to rejoice and enjoy as the Lord continues to tell the story over and over and over again, because that's really what's been going on in this revelation in so many ways. It's like, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. And he's showing us in this fantastic, incredible wrap-up of how he's going to be magnified. All right, in 18:6 it says, and this is again to the great whore, reward her even as she rewarded you. Double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. How much she has gloried herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. This is awesome. And this is where all of this is heading and all of this is going together. Now, we have this, as it says, that the trumpet sounded in verse 14 of the ninth chapter to loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. In Revelation 16:12, it tells us that that great river Euphrates is dried up and it makes the way for the kings of the east to come into Jerusalem, to come to this area to destroy. Because remember, this is just this incensed, complete hatred, again, to destroy Israel. So, how appropriate, the kings of the east. We talked about them already. We're talking Iran. We're talking Syria. But we're also talking China. And wasn't it amazing? We read again of the 200 million man army. I was reading some of the old encouragements that have been written even in the 1800s on Revelation and all. And, you know, the population of the earth was not even, you know, it was like about 200, 300, 400 million. So they were trying to figure out and kind of mold around, well, it didn't really mean a 200 million man army and this type of thing. Well, as we know, it was stated publicly, I think not even a year ago, that China boasted that they have a 200 million man ready army today. Praise God! And isn't that wonderful that they absolutely have confirmed that the word of God is true? Didn't know it, but there you go. And so we have this here. And see, the sinner can't help do what God says is going to happen. And again, how precise God's timing is to the hour, to the second. This battle that will destroy. And notice here, it's a battle that's going to destroy a third of all men. Armageddon, it says in Revelation 14:20, it says that the blood is going to flow to the horse's bridle. It's going to be a river or an area of 2,600 furlongs. 2,600 furlongs is 325 miles. So you're going to have, well, horse's bridles maybe about this tall, okay? You're going to have the equivalent of blood this tall all the way for 325 miles. It's a lot of carnage. It's a lot of death. And the word of God's true. Every time we think we're so smart that we're never going to do it again, we do it again, whether it's World War I or World War II. See, the dog returns to the vomit. It can't help do what it's going to do. You know, no matter how much. It's kind of funny, I won't be too graphic, but anybody who has a dog, you love your dog, you clean your dog, you do all these things with your dog. Your dog does the nastiest things all the time. It just doesn't, it's a dog, you know. And you got the picture. All right, so we don't really have to go on from there. But the point is that the dog returns to the vomit. And it's just going to be a bigger pile as it goes along. And I just think it's wonderful. But notice again, as we close this up, the breastplates of iron and purple speaks of royalty, the kings that are going to gather. And you think about this time, every earthly force and hell's force combined, the brimstone, the heads of lions, the fire, the smoke, all of that, in this mass demonic possession in proportions never seen, Satan fully unleashed as a lion in men. It's a terrible time. Even your horrible boss, you want him to believe God. You know, pray for people. And I do believe if we're truly bridal saints, and it's not to just, you know, whatever. We can be chapped with folks, don't get me wrong. But I pray we would love souls. And you love a soul. And you'll understand in loving that soul as the Lord gives you love. Why Christ died. So all the fury of hell is unleashed. But remember this. This still cannot compare to the final wrath of God that's going to end it all. Out of their mouths, it keeps saying this. And I want to make this point before as we close tonight. It keeps to say, out of their mouths, out of their mouths. Brothers and sisters, out of our mouth, the abundance of the heart speaks. And I pray that there would be an abundance of love. And see, this is how Satan destroys. Think of how he destroys families, relationships. Because out of the abundance of a heart, something came out. Amen? Slow to speak, quick to hear. Amen? See, the enemy, he wants to use that. This is a vile thing, this tongue. But what's going to come from here is what's going to come from here. And by the grace of God, when we start, what a great barometer of where we're at. What are we speaking about? You know, what is our speech like? What are we, and again, okay, but what are we talking about? I mean, this will even tell you what your first love is. When you're out there during the day, what do you speak of? What has your complete attention? Is it, you know, is it the trial or is it overcoming? Is it, you know, I was just speaking with Brother Ty and, you know, going through some things. They're not joyful for the moment. But by the grace of God, I appreciate that the Word of God says for the moment. I want to have those enlightened eyes of understanding that see eternity. Amen. That the reason for this is for eternity. When I can see this in eternity, and I'll tell you, that was a trial that God so graced our home with that went on and on. But quickly on in that was the encouragement of the Word of God to not see the trial in the moment that wasn't joyous, but to see it in its forever, that the glory could not be compared. And I thank the Lord for that so much. And that's the overcomer that the Lord has given us in his life that lives in each and every one of us. But this abundance of vile, this abundance of hate, this is what Satan uses to kill. He uses false teachings, the apostasy. And we'll get on to more specific things is in our study when we talk about the Antichrist and the false prophet. But what's so amazing to me is that the last two verses here, wicked men that are in this time, they see all of this stuff happening. They're tormented by it, but yet they still don't repent. It's incredible, isn't it? But wasn't that the Lord that told us from the very beginning? They have eyes and they see not, and they have ears and they hear not. You know, though one died and rose from the dead. All I can say is thank you, Jesus. I believe. I believe. And I just want to believe it all. And I'll tell you what, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. And I want to encourage myself in that in you till he come. And I'll tell you what, we believe this most holy faith. We believe this Paul's gospel. We believe by the grace of God, that's for me. I know what I'll be doing in heaven. I know when I get there, I'm going to say, Lord, I've seen this. You told me about this many a time in those sweet nights, having a hard time, some of them trials that I thought was just going to ruin my life. But yet you kept telling me about these things. Getting ready, honey. Getting ready. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.